This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
Epidemics there have been in the past and in the present, with the introduction of cholera into Italy from North Africa. But thanks to modern hygiene and modern methods of preventive medicine, they don't usually occur on a scale sufficient enough to threaten the health of an entire nation. This is not so with the story contained in the medical file I have opened before me for tonight. This affliction was deadly, was widespread and insidious in a way is seldom seen, and counted its victims in thousands before the outbreak was identified and brought under control. And I've called my story for tonight National Alert.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
My story takes place in an undisclosed Middle Eastern country. Undisclosed because, until recently, there was a security clamp on news of this particular outbreak. And also because the same thing could occur in any country similarly placed with regard to economic and living conditions. The names and locations, therefore, are fictitious. But the events are horrifyingly real. Dr. Ben Clancy, resident representative of the World Health Organization, had seen service in many countries since World War II, and he always understood the conditions he would have to encounter. But even with his wide experience, he was to be strained to the uttermost in combating this evil.
Clancy here.
Hello, Ben. Eben Beers.
Hello, Eben. What does the public officer of health want today? Another ride to make up a polo team?
Afraid not, Ben. Polo is for the more pleasant times.
And times are not pleasant?
Far from it.
You sound serious, Eben. What's the trouble?
I wish I knew. But I've had disturbing reports from some of our country districts.
From some of them? One? Two? Huh?
Ten.
Ten?
So far, yes.
You expect more?
How can I say? I fear more.
Hey, Eben, that's a strong expression for you to use. You've got some epidemic on your hands, you think?
It would seem so. And you know what that means in a hot country such as ours with poor sanitation facilities.
Yeah, I know what it mean. Where are these areas grouped? The areas where the reports have come from?
They're not grouped, Ben. They're spread all over the country.
I can hardly believe it.
Neither can I. That's why I wanted the World Health Organization in on it as soon as possible. It's obvious that we won't be able to handle an outbreak on this scale on our own.
Has the disease been identified, Ben?
No. Not positively, anyway. Only wild, I suppose wild, guesses. There is one thing, though.
What's that?
All the symptoms are the same from each area, and there have been fatalities already.
How many? A few in each place?
An average of 12 so far. More than 100 dead already. Won't you come round and look at the reports, Ben?
You're doing right, I will, Eben. If an epidemic like that doesn't stop pronto, there's no telling where it will lead.
Well, Ben, what do you think of the reports?
Don't help us very much, do they? Not with our local tests. Cramp-like pains in stomach, nausea and vomiting, pallor, cold, moist skin. Symptoms of several epidemic diseases in early stage.
There's one thing that really worries me. Well, two things, really.
Well, let's have them.
Most of the staffs, even of small hospitals in areas such as these, have had a fair experience of diagnosing diseases that normally attack our populations.
You have a point. And?
The rapid and often fatal conclusion. Shallow breathing, diarrhea, collapse, death. Whatever it is, it's a killer.
Point number two, my own particular worry is the spread of the disease, judging by these reports. From Punjab in the north to, well, Al Inkra in the south, and taking in the eastern and western rural districts as well. Frankly, I don't understand.
Then neither do I. The usual outbreak comes in one area and then spreads. But this, it's risen spontaneously in different districts all over the country.
Certainly an unusual pattern, to say the least. It's fairly noticeable, even on a quick check like this, that the larger towns don't seem to have been affected, only the rural places.
But what does that tell us? Only that the more primitive living conditions among the rural population favors various epidemic diseases. Although there are more people living in towns, generally the water supplies and sanitations are better.
So, normally things cancel out for the town dwellers.
Hmm.
Certainly it's the country folk who've borne the brunt of it this far. But as I've said, just examining these reports doesn't help us very much. I think it calls for on-the-spot checkup.
I hoped you'd say that. But I can't leave for 24 hours, not with things in this state. Would you go on ahead and begin an investigation?
I think I'd better.
I'm not trying to put the thing onto your shoulders,
Ben. No, I didn't think you were.
But frankly, I'm expecting the position to worsen still further. These reports have all come in since 8 o'clock last night.
40 hours from the outbreak of the biggest epidemic I've ever heard of modern times. One of the biggest, anyway. No wonder you don't feel you can leave your office. I'll take my assistant, Dr. Stringer, and head for Punjab on the next plane.
I'll join you within a day. I certainly need your help. Good luck.
Well, Marion, what do you make of it?
Well, I agree with you, Ben. These reports don't tell us very much, do they?
It's very nasty. That much is clear.
I don't get the feel that it's anything we usually handle.
That's more or less Pierre's attitude.
And Ibben's no fool.
Well, that isn't. But that leaves us with a proposition that this outbreak is something entirely new to us. Maybe to the medical world. I don't believe that either.
Sounds most unlikely. The usual things are cholera, typhoid.
Oh, there's no sign of fever.
No, rather the reverse, with cold, moist skin.
And low pulse rate. That's not typhoid.
Mm-hmm. Not low pulse rate, then. Irregular, but rapid. Look, it says so here.
Where? Oh, yes, you're right. This exam so quickly, I hadn't read that properly.
You know, all those fatalities in such a short time are pretty unsettling.
That's putting it mildly. Even bubonic plague doesn't kill his victims that quickly. But we won't be able to tell very much before we're on the spot.
I wonder if we'll be able to make any better diagnosis than the medical people who sent these reports in?
We'd better. The World Health Organization. Got quite a reputation at stake.
Chancy things, reputations.
Can be made and ruined without any real justification sometimes. But more important here, it's 100 lives lost already. So someone has got to find out what it is pretty darn quick.
Ah, Ben. Dr. Stringer.
Hello, Evan. How are things at base?
Bad.
How bad, Dr. Beer?
Steady flow of reports since you left. 1,000 cases have been reported in that time. Another 300 critical, 80 more fatalities.
We've got trouble.
What have you found out here, Ben?
The facilities here are minimal, but we've determined one thing. It's not cholera.
That confirms reports from other areas. Shall we look at some of the patients together?
Yes.
I think that's a good idea. The resident physician and Marion did the microscope work that eliminated cholera, but there are other possibilities.
Well, let's take this little group of patients here. You see, they've only been admitted 24 hours. And they're comatose already.
And the temperature of each isn't particularly high.
Which seems to eliminate the fevers, typhoid, typhus.
Well, anyway, Dr. Beer, the progress of those diseases is so much slower. You can walk about with typhoid for a week.
Very true, Dr. Stringer. And although the general symptoms of typhus and typhoid are very much the same as our mystery disease. Here there is no rash, no nosebleed. No real clues.
There is one odd thing. Come over here and look.
Hmm? What have you found out now, Marion?
All these five people are from one family.
No doubt it's contagious.
Hey, hold your horses a minute, Evan. That's not the usual pattern of a contagion either. If they infected each other, they would have come in at intervals, not all at once.
So, they've been in touch with the same carrier who's infected their food, perhaps, and...
Now we're back to cholera again.
Sometimes severe food poisoning is mistaken for cholera.
And vice versa.
That's true, Dr. Beer, but I'm morally certain that this is not cholera. And your other reports confirm that.
They do, yes. So, what have we? Let's recap. We have a sudden outbreak of a disease, apparently contagious in the extreme, with symptoms similar to a number of epidemic diseases that occurs in almost every rural area in the country simultaneously. It's nothing like any outbreak I've ever known.
Nor me.
And the proportion of fatalities to cases is abnormally high, even for plague.
I've had plague in my mind. The symptoms are similar, up to a point, but look at the temperature charts of all these patients here. There just isn't a fever that goes with the plague.
It's rather a pity you came all this way just to hear so little news of him.
I had to visit at least one of the areas affected. This was the nearest. And I needed a discussion with World Health Organization representatives on the spot. We will probably need outside help, and our reports must be as exhaustive as possible.
Our help you've got. All the same, there's not much more we can do here, except pick out some samples for laboratory tests. I've gleaned just one extra item of information from the nursing staff here.
What's that, Ben?
A number of the patients complained of throat discomfort and a metallic taste in the mouth.
That's odd.
I thought so, too. I've had a look at quite a number of patients here. The gums are to some extent redder than usual.
Doesn't apply to epidemic diseases either.
That's what we thought. So the quicker we get back with our samples and do the laboratory work, the better.
What are you doing now, Ben?
Haven't you seen the Reinz test for mercury before, Eben?
Mercury? No, I haven't, but why?
Well, I think we've felt all along, the three of us, that there was something that didn't fit the pattern for the outbreak of a contagious disease.
Yes. Too widespread, too sudden. Symptoms inconsistent.
All those things. Yet Ben thought it seemed like food poisoning.
Yeah, affecting whole families simultaneously.
And the reddened gums, as well as the other symptoms of nausea, cramps, irregular pulse, shallow breathing, collapse, seemed to us like poisoning of some kind.
And this test proves it. From the autopsy samples, we've rather nicely plated this copper foil with a silvery substance.
Mm-hmm.
Now we wash it and put in another test tube and heat it for a while.
But then, you mean that this isn't a medical matter?
Oh, it's a medical matter, all right. These people need help. But it's possibly rather wider in its implications than just an epidemic. There now. You see that deposit on the wall of the test tube, just above the foil?
Yes.
Look, this is the third sample we've tested, Dr. Beer.
I see. So?
It would be wise to get confirmatory tests made on samples from other areas, Ibn. But from what I can see here, we're not dealing with any kind of a disease, but a major lethal outbreak of mercury poisoning on a fantastic scale.
Diagnosis is never very easy, especially with symptoms of a number of diseases that resemble each other. Nor when the final answer turns out to be something entirely unexpected, as in this case. In fact, for the public health authorities and the World Health Organization, the major part of the task still lay ahead. In Dr. Ibn Bayir's office the next morning, there was what amounted to a council of war.
Now, at least, thanks to you, Ben and Marion, we know what it is we have to deal with. I've taken certain steps already, and I'm expecting a visitor shortly, whom I hope will have further information. The first thing is that all hospitals and clinics have been advised of the antidote to use for mercury poisoning.
5 to 10% sodium phosphite solution.
Yes, or sodium formaldehyde, sulfahyde. But tell me, how much BAL can you let us have? Enough for the entire country?
I was on telex to headquarters this morning. Ibn, there's a plane shipment on its way. The suppliers are being contacted to provide you with what you need.
The trouble is, we don't know how much we'll need. Now, we have nearly 1,500 cases, of which more than 200 have proved fatal.
Well, we must take the usual steps of poisoning, then BAL, administered intravenously, should cut down the fatality rate.
Yes, but...
Hello, Dr. Baird. I hope I haven't kept you waiting.
Colonel Mai, I was just about to say to my colleagues that we have to do more than cut the mortality rate on cases reported. We have to find the cause of the outbreak. Sorry. Dr. Clancy, this is Colonel Mahi of the police.
How do you do?
Dr. Clancy of the World Health Organization and his assistant, Dr. Stringer.
How do you do, Dr. Clancy? I may have something that is of interest, Dr. Baird. I think this is our problem.
A loaf of bread?
Freshly baked, partly eaten, by the last family to be taken into hospital, about 200 kilometers from here. I left early this morning and brought it back myself.
But why fish? Why bread?
Without knowing too much about this kind of poisoning, Dr. Baird, I feel that the bread is the most likely source. After all, times have been bad, and bread is a basic need of life. Some of the family may eat fruit, others meat or a little cheese, but they all will eat bread.
I'll take some of that loaf and get to work testing it at once. We'll know within 2 hours if you're right about it.
Squad! Halt! This is the place. Post guards, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
Don't let anyone enter or leave. Come with me, please, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. What can I do for you, gentlemen?
Keep out of the way, Baker. I am Colonel Mahi from the police. A constable, watching my research.
What have I done? I'm a...
Sorry, just keep out of the way until we're done. Come this way, gentlemen. The store's at the back where the grain's kept. Have you any way of telling quickly if the grain is contaminated?
I suppose we could make a paper test.
It's not very scientific, but there's an easier way.
What's that, sir?
Chew some.
Here's the grain, sir.
Well, there's the bag open. I'll try a few grains.
I also.
Give me some.
Well?
Definite metallic taste.
It's burning my gums a little.
Never mind, let's spill it out. Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it. This grain is contaminated. We'll have to test it, of course.
Constable, bring some men and take this grain to the truck.
But
and bring the baker along, too.
No,
he's got a British thing to do. Come on now, get going.
It's absolutely frightening. Day after day, the cases reported are still climbing. The fertility's increasing. What are we going to do?
And there's little more we can do at the moment.
You mustn't blame yourselves for feeling helpless. We've issued warnings about the poison bread. We've made sure that there's a supply of antidote in every region.
But how did it happen? The grain was contaminated, but how? Why?
New reports from Tobas, Wabra, and Zilfi, Dr. Baird.
Give them to me.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. More reports.
Yes.
Well, Eben?
200 more cases. 12 deaths in Tobas. 20 at Zilfi. 18 Wabra. Another 50 people in critical condition. Oh, dear.
You can hardly put out a warning to the entire population not to eat bread, can you?
I don't know which would be worse, to be poisoned or to starve to death.
Starving is not quite so quick, nor so lethal. But I agree with Marion. A ban on bread eating just isn't possible.
Mai is working on finding out where the poison grain supplies are located. We're seizing all that suspect. But the stuff is right throughout the country. It's no easy job.
I need to make an interim report to my organization. What are the actual figures today, Dibbon?
In 2 weeks plus 1 day, we have had over 3,000 reported cases. And 1 in 10 has died.
That's terrible.
Yes?
Colonel Mahi to see you, Dr. Dibbon.
Good. Send him in at once, please. It's Mahi. He must have news for us.
Oh, good news, I hope.
I wonder what hope we have left.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Colonel. Sit down and you look all in.
Not quite, Dr. Baird. I haven't slept for 3 days and I've just got back from the country. But I can keep going a bit longer. I know where the grain was obtained.
What? What? Where, Colonel? For heaven's sake, where?
Government stocks.
What? You can't be serious.
I'm too tired to joke, Dr. Baird. There was a very poor harvest last year.
I didn't know. One of the drawbacks of being a town dweller.
Anyway, the country people depend upon their grain supplies, and to boost existing stocks, grain was supplied from government granaries.
Well, that tells us where.
But what has that to do with the present outbreak?
I can tell you that too, Dr. Baird.
According to the experts I've consulted, grain intended for spring sowing was treated with methyl mercury. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Well, the poison is intended to stop the grain rotting in the ground.
I've heard of its use as a fungicide.
Yes, that's it, Dr. Clancy. Well, this grain was issued in error to rural areas, to bakeries. We're now feeling the effects of it.
That means there's hundreds of tons of the stuff lying in barns and bakery stores just waiting to be used. Where on earth will it end?
In the rivers, the lot of it.
What? Not in the rivers.
Oh, no.
Oh, why not? That's where most of the unwanted stuff ends up, in the villages. Now that the country people are beginning to realize it's this grain that's causing them to go off their heads and die like flies, the bags are being emptied into the rivers.
But don't you realize, man, that the contaminated water supplies affect the animals, get into irrigated crops?
No, sir, I didn't realize that.
Naturally, Colonel, you wouldn't. After all, you're a policeman, not a biologist or medical man. But what Dr. Clancy says is right. We'll have mercury coming back to the people in thousands of food chains instead of just one. This must be stopped at once.
I'll do what I can. But I would need a force of thousands to police the entire rural area.
I'm going to see the Minister of Health again. The original outbreak is bad enough, but this looks like taking an even greater turn for the worse.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is General Sorayan. I can tell you that a national alert has been called, and I am to take any measures that seem appropriate. And I am answerable to nobody except the Prime Minister. A number of you have problems. May I hear them, please?
General Sorayan, I have been able to prevent a number of sacks of grain being thrown in the rivers. I understand you are already aware of the dangers of this.
Yes, Colonel. Army units in every area throughout the country are keeping guard night and day. Yeah. An edict has been issued that anyone found depositing grain in the rivers is to be shot.
Isn't that rather extreme, General?
Under normal circumstances, Dr. Clancy, yes. But extreme cases call for extreme measures. Next.
General, sir, I have a report ready for the World Health Organization, whom I represent.
May I see it, please, Dr. Clancy?
Certainly, sir. Here.
Thank you, Dr. Clancy. Believe me, I am aware of what you and your colleagues have done for our countrymen. But I cannot allow a word of this report to leave the country.
But, sir...
You may, of course, give your superiors a verbal report, but only in the strictest confidence.
Yes, General. Very good.
Dr. Stringer, I believe you have been compiling statistics during this emergency. May we have the latest figures?
Yes, of course. This is the third week of the crisis. The number of definitely identified report cases is just over 4,000, with 420 fatalities.
Dr. Clancy, you see how much we need your help and your goodwill.
I never had any doubt of that, sir. There's another way in which my organization can assist this situation.
How?
We may ship in enough grain to supply any deficiency there may be. Then the poison grain can be used for sowing as originally intended.
The border is closed to personnel movements. But I will make a special exception in this case. In your case, if you can arrange this for us, you will have all the assurances that you need that we will repay your country, your organization, when we can. And thank you once again.
The nightmare lasted from February of that year until August, when the number of reported cases dwindled to nothing. As a direct result of eating poisoned bread from the diverted grain, 6,530 people became ill, and some 500 died, in one of the most devastating mass poisoning accidents on record.
Thank you.
File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.